levels of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
A lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken, and no one will be able to be armed. We will take all guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
It's global governance at last. Is it one world? The central bankers in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Answer to 1984 is 1776.
Good evening. It's Friday, December the 28th of 2012. I'm David Ortiz. You're watching InfoWars Nightly News, and here's what we have in store for you tonight.
Tonight, 200 teachers get firearms training in Utah to carry concealed weapons in their classrooms. Meanwhile, Sheriff Joe Arpaio sends armed posse to protect schools in Arizona. And a petition to try Dianne Feinstein for treason gains momentum. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back. Well, it seems that more teachers are going to arm themselves. According to an article posted today on USA Today, the headline reads, "Trainer for Gun-Toting Teachers, Make It Hard to Kill a Kid." The article reads, "Class was in session Thursday for about 200 Utah teachers who will get special firearms training working with a plastic gun in a conference room at a hockey arena to carry concealed weapons in their classrooms." Later on in the article, it reads, "In Ohio, the Buckeye Firearms Foundation is swamped with 20 times more applications from teachers and administrators to custodians and bus drivers than they have space for in a three-day tactical defense course to be offered this spring." So there you go. You've got more teachers wanting to conceal carry. Obviously, this is in the wake of what happened in Sandy Hook. It's a good deal. It's a good thing. Obviously, it's part of their Second Amendment rights to protect themselves. People are proposing ridiculous things such as tearing down the school in Sandy Hook where the tragedy happened. Obviously, there are horrible memories that occur there, but that's going to cost taxpayers millions of dollars. The best way to arm a school is by having people to protect the school is by having people be armed. Some people are proposing bringing armed police officers to these schools, but obviously that's going to be very costly to taxpayers. The most cost-effective thing to do is to arm teachers if they want to be armed. Now, obviously, you don't want to have a knee-jerk reaction. You don't want, you know, tons of people walking around with guns just because they're frightful. They obviously have the right to do that, but it's highly unlikely you're going to be shot by a gun. But, you know, people, you know, they do have the right to do that. They do have the right to arm themselves, despite the fact that the chances of someone getting shot by a gun are extremely low. So this is a better way to go about it than increasing the police state like some liberals are proposing. But in another article posted today at azfamily.com, it seems that Sheriff Joseph Arpaio is saying we're going to arm some schools with police officers. The article reads, "Maricopa County Sheriff Joseph Arpaio said Thursday that he plans to deploy his armed volunteer posse to protect Valley schools from the kind of violence that happened in the Connecticut shooting tragedy. Arpaio believes having armed law having armed law officers around schools will deter would-be criminals from trying anything violent and possibly stop them if they do. He says, quote, I have the authority to mobilize private citizens and fight crime in this county. Arpaio first started using his posse to protect malls during the holiday season in 1993 in response to violent incidents in prior years. Since then, he said malls where his posse members are on patrol have had zero violent reoccurrences, and patrols by his all-volunteer squad during the 2012 shopping season netted a record 31 arrests. So that's another way to go about it. Obviously, some people are going to say the way to keep our kids safe is to have a growing police state. Sheriff Arpaio wants to have armed individuals at schools, and that's certainly his right to do that. It's a far more cost-effective way to obviously just have concealed carry for teachers, but people are going about it their own separate ways. And for those that say the best thing to do to keep our children safe is to disarm the public, it's important to note that only about 12,000 people in the United States die annually from gun violence, and that's mostly due to drug-related incidences, and it usually happens on property where guns are not allowed. So it's less than a 1% chance that you will die from a gun, but the liberals, such as Piers Morgan, think that the best way to do it is to disarm people. It was Mohammed Gandhi that said in his autobiography that one of the worst things Britain did to the Indians was to disarm them. Gandhi called it one of the bleakest moments in Indian history. But if you call yourself a person of peace and are in disagreement with Gandhi, you might want to reconsider your stance. And also for all those Europeans that say they're so much safer in Europe than they are in the United States, it's important to note that twice as many people are raped in Europe as they are in the United States, and burglaries are twice what they are here in the United States as well. Also in England, according to Reason Magazine, about 50% of home burglaries that occur in England, the homeowner is there 50% of the time. Whereas in the United States, when a burglary occurs, the homeowner is only there about 13% of the time. So again, obviously this is a better way of going about it, by having concealed carry and, you know, having armed officers. That's not my favorite way, but it's even better than having a growing police state. Now, speaking of filth, Senator Dianne Feinstein, is proposing drafting a bill in Congress in early January that will disarm the American people. It's basically saying that she would take, I believe, assault weapons away from people who don't already have them, and she would make it harder. You'd have to register, things of that nature. So as a result, there's a petition that's taking place right now that says, try Senator Dianne Feinstein or Feinstein in a federal court for treason to the Constitution. And right now, I don't know how many people, I think it's about 5,000 at last count. There you go, about 5,100 people. If you think that she should be tried for treason, we encourage you to fill out that petition. And it's also important to note that we here at InfoWars are sponsoring a petition, or spearheading a petition, for Piers Morgan, basically saying that if you don't agree with Piers Morgan, you know, maybe he should be deported. And at last count, we have nearly 90,000 people are saying that Piers Morgan should be deported. And obviously we have, I believe, a couple more days before that needs to be submitted. So we, the people, we encourage you to fill out these petitions. Supposedly the White House is supposed to comment if you hit 25,000 signatures, but we don't know if that's going to happen. Now, speaking of gun news, we're going to continue with gun news, and it seems that Hollywood wants to preach to us some more, and a PSA, a special video that was edited together shows the hypocrisy of Hollywood liberals. Let's go to that video.
I like the way you die, boy.
Kill all the white people in the movie. Great is that?
Virginia Tech.
Tucson.
Aurora.
Fort Hood. Oak Creek.
Newtown. The hypocrisy is literally laughable. They're so selectively moral. Do you know that over 100,000 kids are aborted in the third trimester? Over 100,000. And you've got 12,000 people killed by firearms, most of them because of drug-related situations. But these people, look at their selective morality. They don't, you know, they don't do this for abortion in the third trimester. They don't attack Barack Obama for the drug war that kills thousands annually. He could end that today if he wanted to. They don't talk about how Barack Obama's drone airplanes over Pakistan have killed thousands of people, innocent individuals. So they're very selective with their morality. Again, the United States is actually safer than Europe when it comes to assault crimes. And look at Switzerland. In Switzerland, every male is required to have, a semi-automatic. They're all required to have a gun. I'm not a gun guy, but I know they're all required to have a gun. And as a result, Switzerland is one of the safest countries in Europe. And most of the, many of the violence, the firearm murders that occur also involve individuals who are mentally ill as well. So the chances that you're just walking down the street and get killed by someone who is sane is extremely minimal. Now, in other news, in an article posted today on Infowars.com, the headline reads, Lapdog FDA approves GM salmon for human consumption. It's by Aaron Dykes, the article. And the article reads, true to form, the subservient and bought out Food and Drug Administration has now approved a larger and faster growing genetically modified salmon for human consumption, paving the way for its acceptance on the marketplace and quickly making its way to the dinner table. Only consumer opposition stands in the way. Now, later on in this newscast, we're going to have a sit down interview with Mike Adams. We already had it, pardon. And Mike talked about this. He talked about how they're now genetically modifying salmon. So stay tuned for his in-depth analysis on this story. Now, in other news, in an article posted today on Infowars.com by Kurt Nimmo, the headline reads, FOIA documents reveal how FBI spied on Occupy Wall Street. FBI documents received by the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund through a Freedom of Information Act request reveal massive government surveillance of nonviolent political groups in the United States. Later on, the article says, the trove of documents also show how the government considered a largely peaceful Occupy Wall Street movement to be a terrorist threat. Quote, this production, which we believe is just the tip of the iceberg, is a window into a nationwide scope of the FBI's surveillance, monitoring, and reporting on peaceful protesters organizing with the Occupy movement, end quote, said Mara Hilliard, executive director of the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund. Quote, these documents show that the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security are treating protest against the corporate and banking structure of America as a potential criminal and terrorist activity. These documents also show these federal agencies functioning as a de facto intelligence arm of Wall Street and corporate America. So you shouldn't be shocked that the FBI is investigating protesters. Obviously, when you go up against the system, you're a threat. You're a threat. And they call many of these individuals terrorists. They deem them terrorists. But there you go. You've got documented proof that federal officials were spying on Occupy Wall Street protesters. That's a reason for grave concern. You know, why should they be so afraid that people are exercising their constitutional rights? They're basically saying, if you question corporate America, we're going to spy on you. We deem you a threat. So there you go. And this comes on earlier this year. We actually posted an article on Infowars.com where the headline read, police admit to drugging Occupy Wall Street protesters, suspend program. That was in May that was posted. And basically, it's an article where people said that law enforcement officials drugged protesters. People were coming out of cop cars high. And they said, officers gave us drugs. And obviously the reason for that would be to make these individuals look as if they're unstable and they're bad, yet we, the government, are heroes and we are good. But there's documented proof. There's actually a testimony on that in that article from an individual that says, it's true. Now, in other news, speaking of the government that we like to consider filth, Army teams, this is according to an article posted on Yahoo.com. It reads, Army teams going to Africa as terror threat grows, as the fake terror threat grows. And the article reads, a U.S. Army brigade will begin sending small teams into as many as 35 African nations early next year, part of an intensifying Pentagon effort to train countries to battle extremists and give the U.S. a ready and trained force to dispatch to Africa if crises requiring the U.S. military emerge. Later on in the article, it reads, already the U.S. military has plans for nearly 100 different exercises, training programs, and other activities across the widely diverse continent. And we're going to go to a video, an interview that we had with Webster Tarpley, where he talks about his take on this issue.
Obama basically does a couple of things. One is, again, this idea, kick the Chinese out of Africa. Kick them out of Sudan where they get oil. Kick them out of Zimbabwe where they get raw materials. Start a civil war in Congo, another big source of raw materials. Al-Qaeda, an arm of the U.S. intelligence community, is now active in Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco. You've got a destabilization going on in Kenya around Odinga. That's Obama's cousin. This is a guy who has two children. They're Obama's niece and, nephew in a broad sense. And one of them is named Raul, and the other one is named Winnie, after Winnie Mandela, who did the necklacing and political assassinations in South Africa. So this Odinga is essentially a CIA destabilizing operation in Kenya, and he's got a Odinga Islamic alliance to crush the Christians in Kenya. But this also reaches into Ethiopia, it reaches into Uganda, Congo, Tanzania, and a whole bunch of other countries in that region. So all of Africa is a battlefield in flames between the U.S. and the Chinese, with Obama leading the charge to kick the Chinese out for geopolitical reasons.
So there you go. And that was from the documentary, The Obama Deception. And we, so that was produced years ago. So InfoWars was obviously years ahead of the curve there. And Webster Tarpley talking there on the Obama deception. And also a great way to divert the public's attention from the economy is always war. That's always a great way to divert the public's attention from the economy. So that's another great reason why possibly we should be doing this. Now in other news, in more positive news, Free Staters are the single biggest threat the state is facing today. That's according to State Senator Cynthia Chase of New Hampshire. And the reason for that is because there's an initiative called the Free State Project that's encouraging 20,000 people to move to New Hampshire and make New Hampshire the most free state in the union. It's already the most free state in the union, but they want to have about an additional 20,000 people move there so that many of those people can become elected officials and the state of New Hampshire can really be used as a model nationwide. Already, New Hampshire has a significantly less unemployment rate than the national rate, and right now, about 13,000 plus people have agreed to move to New Hampshire. But once the tally hits 20,000, they have agreed to move within 5 years of when the tally hits 20,000. Although some people are already moving already. And what Cynthia Chase, our state representative Cynthia Chase, said in a website was, in my opinion, In the opinion of this Democrat, Free Staters are the single biggest threat the state is facing today. There is legally nothing we can do to prevent them from moving here to take over the state, which is their openly stated goal. In this country, you can move anywhere you choose, and they have the same right. What we can do is to make the environment here so unwelcoming, that doesn't sound very tolerant, that some will choose not to come, and some may actually leave. One way is to pass measures that will restrict the freedoms that they think they will find here. Another is to shine the bright light of publicity on who they are and why they are coming. They cannot put their ideology into our statues unless we elect them in great enough numbers to take over our general court. We have already seen them try during the last session of the general court. Our last election was a repudiation of their extremism. So there you go. It doesn't sound too tolerant, but it seems that the Free Staters are scaring the politicians, many of the liberal and probably the neocons in New Hampshire. And obviously, if you want to live in a more libertarian state, you might want to go to New Hampshire. It's a very patriotic state. We're now going to go to our daily quote, and it comes from James Earl Jones. The quote reads, "The world is filled with violence because criminals carry guns. We decent law-abiding citizens should also have guns. Otherwise, they will win and the decent people will lose." That was from James Earl Jones, the man that I say has the second best voice, second only to our own Ja'Kari Jackson. And earlier on, we were talking about the Free State Project. That's an example of individuals mobilizing, activists mobilizing. And one way you can also do that is by becoming a member of PlanetInfoWars.com. It's completely free. You can speak to like-minded individuals nationwide. You can even submit questions to have Alex answer. And again, that's completely free. And another way to, one way you could also support our operation is by becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. Right now, we have a special. It's called Operation Wake the Sleeping Giant, where if you get one subscription, you can share it with as many as 10 people. It's a great way to promote the Liberty message. Or if you want to save money, you could just get several of your friends. And you could all use the same username and password and save money that way. And also, it's important to note that we now have a new edition of the InfoWars magazine that's out, and it reads 2013, The Year America Dies. You could also get that on our website on InfoWarsShop.com. And again, the headline reads InfoWars 2013, The Year America Dies, obviously talking about the hellish things that are going on in our country. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 1 minute with Mike Adams, the editor of Natural News. Mike is going to address a lot of hard-hitting issues. So stay tuned.
And now, a special Christmas message from the Federal Reserve. This Christmas, the Federal Reserve would like to wish all of our slaves a very merry quantitative easing 4. Our current chair, Ben Bernanke, has perfected the art of giving money to foreign banks for many years, as seen in this rare home movie. Ben is currently giving these banks $85 billion per month. Excellent work, Ben. Once again, this is the Federal Reserve wishing you and yours a very merry quantitative easing 4, and we hope to destroy your economy in the new year.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Welcome back. We are now joined by Mike Adams, the editor of naturalnews.com. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about the top health stories of 2012. Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, David. Good to be here with you. Good to be back.
Thanks. Now, Mike, let's talk a little bit about the top stories. One of the top stories that we talked about this year, one of the top health stories, was healthcare workers fired for failing to get flu vaccinations.
Yeah.
And that's obviously, that happened in Cincinnati. A Cincinnati-based health system reportedly fired about 150 people because they wouldn't get their vaccines. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is all part of the mandatory, what I call gunpoint medicine. Now, they didn't go to these healthcare workers and actually shove guns in their faces, but what they did is they threatened them economically to say, well, if you don't get this shot, even though scientifically it's not effective, mm-hmm. it's really not effective, the flu shot does not prevent the flu. It actually creates increased susceptibility to the flu in the following flu season. But because the propaganda of the flu shot industry is so powerful, and because they actually want people to be dependent on the shots and not to have a self-sustaining immune system, They have to mandate these things, so they threaten. It is essentially an economic sanction threat to say, if you don't get this shot, you're not going to get a paycheck. Now, the next step from that, which has been done in Maryland, by the way, is to say to parents, if you don't give your children this shot, we're going to line you up with guard dogs and men with guns, and we're going to march you through this building and forcefully vaccinate all your children, or you're going to jail. That already happened. Mm-hmm. That's not some weird dystopian future. That's like 2 years ago, I think, or three, that actually happened.
Right.
So it's on. You know, part of what's happening in America today is they want to take away our firearms, you know, Second Amendment under attack, and also our free speech, First Amendment under attack, so that they can then force us to take all their medications. Vaccines are just the top layer of it. What they really want, David, is for all of us to be injected not just with vaccines, which have the cancer viruses in them, so that they can have a cancer industry that is profitable because of that. They also want us to be on their psychiatric medications. In fact, I think that's another one of the big stories of the year, so we'll probably get to that later.
Right. No problem. Yeah, and you definitely see also in legislatures, I think New Jersey drafted a bill, a legislator, saying that it's going to be harder for parents to opt out of flu vaccinations for their kids at schools. It seems that these legislatures are just saying, you know, you can't say thanks but no thanks. You got to give us a reason we deem is valid.
This is medical tyranny, and this is why Benjamin Rush and the Rush Amendment should have been enacted into the Bill of Rights. If we ever get a chance to rethink the Bill of Rights, we have to put in a medical freedom right, because it's so crucial. It's one of the basic human freedoms, basic civil liberties, or human rights, you might even say. But at the time, in, 1789 through 91, when the Bill of Rights was being heavily discussed and negotiated, the idea that you wouldn't have the choice to say no to a medical treatment was considered so bizarre that they thought, well, that will never happen. People will never be forced by a doctor to take a medicine they don't want. But, you know, fast forward 220 plus years, and sure enough, parents have been arrested for not giving their teenage child deadly chemotherapy. They've been arrested for it. Parents have been threatened with jail time for not giving their kids flu shots. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. Parents have their children taken away from them at birth if they refuse vaccine shots in the hospital for the newborn. Mm-hmm. So the medical tyranny is upon us. And it's only going to get worse. The more rights we lose, especially if we lose our Second Amendment rights, then we are going to exist as defenseless victims in a medical dictatorship, police state society. That's where it's really headed, David. And, you know, thank God InfoWars is here to be the most powerful voice of truth in resistance to that kind of tyranny. And that's why I enjoy, you know, contributing and being part of InfoWars as well.
Yeah, not only are they making our kids take bad things, but it works in reverse. For example, in New York City, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is saying you first have to breastfeed your child, and they're not going to have milk in the hospitals. They're basically saying unless you cannot produce breast milk, you know, that's the only way you're going to get milk. So it kind of works in reverse also.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, we always want to encourage mothers to breastfeed. But the control freak liberals like Bloomberg always go about it the wrong way. They want to be a tyrannical dictator who orders you to do these things. Mm-hmm. So rather than educate moms, which could easily be done by just using their propaganda airtime to actually do something good, to say breastfeeding is good, breastfeeding is healthy, breastfeeding boosts the immune function of the child, and even reduces risk of breast cancer in the mom. But instead of saying that, they use their airtime to just conduct more tyranny schemes and to mandate that you do everything. So the philosophy of the control freak tyrants like Feinstein and Schumer and Cuomo and Bloomberg and Obama is that you're too stupid to decide anything for yourself. You're a stupid slave. And the state is the only thing that's intelligent enough to dictate to you what decisions you should make at every level. Economic, health, food, diet, recycling, you know, trash handling, and certainly on issues like firearms. But, of course, these people are delusional. They're deranged. They are probably vaccine damaged, actually. I think Feinstein is a victim of intense vaccine damage. I think half her brain has been eaten away by the very thing that we are trying to save people from, which is mandatory vaccines.
Okay, let's talk about another top story that occurred in 2012. Merck vaccine fraud exposed by two Merck virologists. Basically, it says that the company faked mumps vaccine efficiency results for over a decade. There's a lawsuit going on right now. Tell us a little bit about this.
This is huge news, but it hasn't been covered by the mainstream media. And so, yes, two Merck virologist employees were required to fake the efficacy tests of the vaccine by Merck. And you got to understand, the FDA has given Merck a monopoly on certain vaccines, such as whooping cough vaccines, for example. But in order to maintain that monopoly, they have to prove to the FDA that they have a very high efficacy rate, which I believe is 95%. And by the way, these vaccines are nothing near 95%. They're probably not even 1% effective. So the level of fraud here is huge, is massive. Mm-hmm. But these virologists went public and filed documents with the federal government certifying what they saw, which was that the blood samples would be taken from patients in the clinical trial, and what they're looking for is antibodies to the vaccine viral fragments, right? And then they say that proves that the vaccine works because the patient is generating the antibodies, so they're looking for antibodies. Well, they didn't find enough. So what they did is they gave the vaccines to animals. They took the blood of the animals, they extracted the antibodies from the animals, and then they spiked the human clinical trial blood with the animal antibodies to raise the antibody numbers. And then they turned that over to the FDA and said, see, the vaccines work. That's the level of fraud that we're talking about here. It is criminal fraud. And it shows that the vaccines that are mandated for us to take are so worthless and so scientifically fraudulent and based on such complete quackery that they actually have to commit criminal fraud just to keep the FDA approval. That should be the biggest story of the year in medicine. And it was one of our biggest stories at Natural News, but you know, the mainstream media won't cover it.
Wow, that's amazing. Anything else on this story before we move on to another story?
Well, it's just indicative, I should say, of what's going on in every company. Those whistleblowers were from Merck. But in truth, virtually every major pharmaceutical company operating today has already been found guilty of felony crimes. And they've pled guilty to felony crimes. You know, GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, in 2012, pled guilty to multiple felony crimes and paid the highest fine that had ever been paid by any drug company in the history of medicine, and admitted to fraud and admitted, David, to bribing doctors. They ran a physician bribery network of 49,000 physicians. It's a mob, all right? It's a criminal mob. And these physicians would receive kickbacks for prescribing their drugs. 49,000 doctors. And the kickbacks were in the form of so-called speaking fees. So if you prescribed enough drugs for GlaxoSmithKline, the drug company tracks how many prescriptions you're writing. And then if you prescribe enough, then they give you a kickback by offering you a speaking fee, which can be $1,000 an hour to speak to as few as five people. So they would gather together five people, throw you in front of them for 5 hours, pay you $5,000, which is really a bribe, and call it a speaking engagement, and those five people might even just be asleep. So that's how bribery is done today in big pharma.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to another headline. Basically, the headline reads, help me pronounce this.
Thimerosal
in vaccines. Pediatricians basically want to keep this in the vaccines.
Well, let's just be blunt about it. The conventional pediatricians in America have sold out to the vaccine industry. They have sacrificed the lives and health of countless children for their own power and their own profit. It's not surprising, given that, you know, other groups do that as well. But the pediatricians are very dangerous. If you're a parent out there, in my view, in almost no circumstance should you take your child to a pediatrician. Because if the pediatrician diagnoses your child, let's say, with cancer, which can be diagnosed, quote, diagnosed with an x-ray, without any second opinion, they can demand that you start immediately poisoning your child with chemotherapy, even without, again, without a second opinion. If you say no, they will often call the police. And they will call CPS to come out and take your children away and to have you arrested for not following their recommendation to poison your child with chemotherapy, which is a synthetic deadly cocktail of chemicals derived from the mustard gas chemical weapons of World War I. That's where it comes from. That's why it causes your hair to fall out and people to vomit and lose all their muscle mass. And it causes brain damage and kidney damage and liver damage. There's a phenomenon called chemo brain in those who get chemotherapy. Even if they survive the chemotherapy, and many don't, and it's said that they died of cancer, they actually died from chemo most of the time. But if they survive, their IQ is lowered, literally. They have signs of dementia and Alzheimer's. They cannot function the way they used to because they have chemo brain. And this, of course, works in favor of the cancer industry, because the lower your IQ is, the more easily you are manipulated by mm-hmm. oncologists who are pushing another round of chemo, because the number one side effect of chemotherapy is cancer. Now, I know I'm off track from the thimerosal topic.
No.
But getting back to that, so thimerosal contains methyl mercury. And let me just say on the record here that any scientist, doctor, pediatrician who says that we should inject our children with methyl mercury directly into their bloodstream should be arrested and tried as a criminal. There is no such thing as any safe dose of mercury to be injected into your body. No such thing. It is a crime. It should be a crime to do so. It probably is a crime. It's just not being enforced. Vaccines contain not only methyl mercury. We did a story at Natural News that cited the CDC documents showing that vaccines also contain aluminum, a metal that causes Alzheimer's disease, MSG, monosodium glutamate, an excitotoxin that kills brain cells, that it also contains mercury, and in addition, the vaccines contain formaldehyde, which is the brain pickling chemical that's used, you know, to preserve tissue.
Yeah.
But it actually kills the tissue, and then it keeps it from decomposing because nothing biologically is happening. So you've got four major poisons in vaccines today. All four of those poisons, which again are aluminum, MSG, formaldehyde, and thimerosal, methylmercury, those four poisons, all of them are neurological poisons. These are added to the vaccine by the vaccine criminals to say that they make the vaccines work better. What they really do is they cause more brain damage, and they create a lobotomized population that is incapable of resisting tyranny.
Let me play devil's advocate. Oh, come on, Mike. Maybe you've got us here. Maybe these vaccines are bad, but there's got to be some vaccines out there that are good. You know, the industry can't all be bad. What do you say to those people?
Well, there is an argument for something called clean vaccines. If you could have what's called a single-dose vaccine for a legitimate disease that is a high-risk disease. Let's say you're a government worker working in a level 4 biohazard facility,
right,
and you're dealing with, let's say, Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a very dangerous, deadly biohazard. If you could get a clean vaccine with no mercury, no aluminum, no MSG, and so on, that taking that vaccine, if it did produce antibodies against Ebola, would have a higher reward risk ratio. So there is a case for a clean vaccine against specific workers in specific high-risk situations. But that logic falls apart when you start talking about a flu vaccine that contains four toxic, neurologically damaging substances to be given to the entire population for a so-called disease, you know, the flu, that healthy people can overcome on their own anyway. And in fact, you need to overcome that to exercise your immune system. And what children really need is vitamin D, not vaccines. If you have high levels of vitamin D, you're going to be immune to virtually every cold and flu that comes along circulating in the wild.
So most vaccines are bad?
Nearly all vaccines are deadly. And even the children that they don't kill, they damage them, they brain damage them. It is a kind of small lobotomy is what's going on. And then if you combine that with the other chemicals that are coming in through personal care products, which have the artificial fragrance chemicals, And the pollutants in the air from glues and formaldehydes that are in particle board furniture, for example, or carpet. And then you combine that with the fluoride that you're getting from the water supply. And then you combine that with the chemtrail chemicals, you know, aluminum salt and barium salts and so on that you might be inhaling or getting through food. It is the total burden that becomes a toxic cocktail, which explains why autism rates have skyrocketed, cancer rates in young children have skyrocketed, why we have more cases of liver disease and kidney disease and dialysis. Dialysis is a huge booming industry because kidney failure is widespread. And vaccines are the number one cause of kidney failure. That's the medical industry won't tell you that, but it's true.
Okay, we're going to move on to another story. Any last comment on this?
No, I mean, we could almost do a whole show on that issue, but that's I think we hit some of the big points on it.
Okay, yeah, people definitely want to pick your brain on each of these stories. That's why I ask. All right, let's move on to another story. The headline read is one of your stories. Every human emotion now classified as a mental disorder in new psychiatric manual, DSM-5. I said joking around before the show, I hope they classify liberalism and neoconservatism also as mental disorders. What's your take on this?
Well, this comes out of the negotiations for the new DSM-5. Which hasn't been released yet. We're currently on the DSM-4. And the DSM-5 will come out sometime in 2013. But you got to understand, the DSM-5 is the billing bible for the psychiatric industry. Mm-hmm. It is, in other words, if a so-called disorder makes it into the DSM, then they can bill Medicare and Medicaid for treating that disorder. So in order to maximize their revenues, the psychiatrists sit around in rooms much like this one, and they vote into existence fictional disorders that they make up. And they give them fascinating, bizarre names like general anxiety disorder.
Yeah, I got a kick out of this one, obedience defiance disorder.
Yeah, ODD.
Obedience it used to be a nice smack across the head would take care of that, but...
Well, by the way, you and I both apparently have obedience defiance disorder because we are able to think for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So any person who questions, let's say, the government explanation of 9/11 or the government explanation of Oklahoma City, or even you question your doctor saying chemotherapy is good for you, and you say, well, I don't think it is because it's kind of toxic, you immediately can be diagnosed by a psychiatrist with obedience defiance disorder. Then you can be treated with psychiatric drugs, chemicals, mind-altering drugs sold at very high markups by the pharmaceutical industry. And they, of course, cause additional brain damage. And many of those drugs are actually linked to violent behavior, homicidal tendencies, and they've been linked to nearly every school shooter that we've seen in the past 20 years in America. So we have, it's just like fraud upon fraud. There are so many layers of deception in this. But the bottom line is that psychiatrists, they want to classify every human experience as a disease or a disorder. And the only way to be free of disease, in their view, is to be dead. Because a dead person exhibits no behavior. Thus, they cannot be diagnosed with a behavioral disorder. But if you're not dead, then you're diseased, according to them. Mm-hmm. And their goal is to put every man, woman, and child in America on a battery of mind-altering psychiatric drugs. And they have accomplished much of that goal, and it's only going to get worse if we don't put a stop to it.
I'm going to play devil's advocate again.
Yeah, please.
Okay, Mike, sure. I mean, yeah, people misdiagnose all the time, but attention deficit disorder, that's for real, and there are real diagnoses out there. What do you say to that?
There is absolutely no scientific test whatsoever that can diagnose attention deficit disorder. There's no brain scan. There's no blood test. There's no biology. If there's a real disease, it should be detectable, right? But instead, for ADD, what happens is a psychiatrist sits in a room with a child, observes the child for 5 minutes, and says, attention deficit disorder. Just slaps a label on them. Now, you might say, well, maybe their behavior is erratic. Maybe they're climbing the curtains. Maybe they're running around. Well, look at their diet. If they've been eating artificial colors, FD&C, red number 2, and yellow and blue, many of these dyes are derived from petroleum byproducts, and some of them have aluminum even. These are the culprit, typically. Nutritional deficiencies, not having enough trace minerals and good nutrients, and too much intake of the toxic food additives and food coloring chemicals and food preservatives. This is what, and sugar, just refined sugar, can drive kids crazy. You know, drink a cola. It's got phosphoric acid in it, which damages the kidneys. If it's got aspartame in it, that damages the brain. Or if it's got corn syrup in it, that comes from genetically modified corn, and it's a liquid sugar, like high-octane hyperfuel for a kid, plus the caffeine. So the behavior that's being observed by the psychiatrist mostly is a result of poor dietary choices and poor parenting, not a disease or a disorder. Now, you might ask, in anticipation of this, if you're still playing devil's advocate, you might say, well, wait a minute, there was a study that showed that children who have ADHD do have smaller brains. There was a bunch of brain scans that indicated that. The answer is that's because they were all put on Ritalin, and Ritalin causes stunted brain growth.
Wow.
So there is scientific evidence that if you're put on these drugs, you will have stunted growth and stunted brain development. There is no evidence that there is any, quote, disorder that has any biological truth to it whatsoever. The entire industry is based on complete fabricated fiction.
And one last point on this story about the psychiatric manual. In your article, the last gentleman, Alan Francis, who chaired DSM-4, he said that he now admits it was a huge mistake that has resulted in the mass overdiagnosis of people who are actually quite normal. He says, quote, inadvertently contributed to three false epidemics, attention deficit disorder, autism, and childhood bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
It is astonishing that he is admitting that he and his colleagues created three false epidemics. But you just read his quote. That's his quote. He admits his mistake. Mm. Most of his colleagues are not willing to admit that mistake because the racket is too lucrative. As long as they can convince people that these disorders are real, then they can continue to play doctor. I mean, because let's get this straight. They're playing doctor. It's no different than, you know, a couple of five-year-old kids running around playing doctor with a little doctor toy set. These psychiatrists are playing doctor. They even call themselves doctors. These people are more insane than the people they're diagnosing as having disorders. What we really need to do, if we want to look for mental defects, we need to look at the psychiatrists themselves. A very large percentage of those probably literally need to be removed from society and put in mental hospitals because they're so detached from reality and they're such a danger to our children.
One more thing and then we'll move on to another story. I do want to play devil's advocate on this because even though it's just a small amount of people that have this condition, just as a person walking around, I have seen people with severe depression or, you know, they call it bipolar disorder. what do you say when you see someone who's severely depressed? And you could tell that there's something more than just he's having a bad day or a bad week.
Yeah. Well, you got to look at the food-mood connection. If you look at people who describe themselves as feeling depressed, first of all, the experience of feeling sad or feeling down is a normal human emotion as part of the cycle of human experience.
But these people are like continuously, like for months on end.
I understand. Yeah, and we'll get to that. But The psychiatrists say that any fleeting expression of sadness is a disorder. So let's say they take a young kid, a 13-year-old young boy who lives in a small town and he grew up with his best friend and then his best friend moves away and then he's sad. Well, you're supposed to be sad when your best friend moves away. That's not a disease. That is life. That's a normal human experience. So he doesn't need medication. What he just needs is good support and maybe to find new friends, maybe to find a hobby, maybe to have good parenting to support him in this transition. But now you said, what if someone is chronically depressed? Most of the time, this is due to malnutrition. And it's interesting that one of the drugs that's given for mental disorders is lithium. Did you know lithium is a trace mineral element? It's a nutrient. Lithium helps heal the brain. You don't have to get it from Big Pharma. You can get it in a trace mineral supplement. Lithium is already in there. So you often hear of lithium preventing people from going crazy, you know, in mental wards. It does the same thing even before you get to the mental ward. If you have lithium, if you have magnesium, if you have zinc and selenium and all of these other trace minerals, plus you need to be free from the toxic heavy metals. Now, there are some people in society who are truly mad because of the toxicity of the metals they've been exposed to. For example, there are towns in America that are near copper mines. And because of the copper mining activity, there is a very high level of copper in the local water supply and possibly even in the soils because of it falling out of the air. Towns that live near copper mines have very high rates of psychosis. And a lot of people don't know that. Towns that are near coal-fired power plants have more mercury falling out of the sky, out of the power plants, onto the farms, especially if you look at the way the trade winds blow. People who eat that food tend to have more early-onset dementia and Alzheimer's because of the mercury. So if you look at people who are truly crazy, I mean, like, you know, blabbering mad on the streets, almost always they have, one is toxic heavy metals poisoning, and number two, severe deficiencies of the healthy trace minerals and other nutrients. Can drugs help those people in some cases? At best, they can suppress symptoms and create the appearance that that person is less mad, but the drugs don't heal anybody.
Okay.
So that sorry to go into such detail.
But no, don't worry about it. I mean, each story is like fascinating. You could literally, like you said earlier, just dedicate a segment to each of these stories.
Yeah.
We've got a couple more, so let's get to it. Another top health story.
Well, can I interrupt?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, but
no.
If you look at why is America going mad,
mm-hmm.
part of the answer, I think, is because the chemtrails are dropping aluminum onto all the crops. So we are eating ourselves into a state of insanity if we eat crops that are grown with those metals. So I think, you know how the Roman Empire, mm-hmm. some people believe that the madness that took over and led to the fall of Rome, might part of the reason for that might have been the lead that was in the aqueducts.
Mm-hmm.
So all the water that came into Rome over the mountains and through the aqueducts, all that water was then inundated with lead. And as the citizens drank the lead, they became insane.
Wow.
So, you know, a heavy metal may have brought down the Roman Empire, or at least been a factor. Well, metals may be bringing down the American Empire. This is actually the big story, man. If you look at these deranged liberals who think that, for example, a gun-free zone sign magically stops guns, that is delusional thinking. That is deranged thinking. That is psychosis. But that is commonplace. What could explain a common psychosis across the liberal-minded population? And why is Dianne Feinstein so insane that she would think that you have to give up your guns even though she has a concealed carry? It's because I believe part of the answer is that we are suffering widespread metals damage to the American people. I think we're living in a brain-damaged population.
Yeah, that's what we've had. Alex has had guests like Gerald Celente, who says we're dealing with sociopaths.
Yes.
And people giggle at that like that's some, a line just for entertainment. Maybe it is. No, I really believe some of these leaders are sociopaths.
Yeah, they're brain-damaged. I think that what we're seeing is a lot of even politicians, U.S. senators, some of them, and members of the House. I think that they are victims of vaccine damage and of heavy metals damage. And they don't realize that. They are insane. I think everybody would agree Joe Biden is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Obama would even agree. Mm-hmm. He's a nut job, right? Why? But why is he a nut job? If you dissected his brain, you know, post-mortem one day when he passes away, and you dissect Joe Biden's brain with a microscope, because it's probably pretty small at this point, but you'd probably find very high levels of mercury in Joe Biden's brain.
Yeah.
Maybe we should put a sign on Joe Biden's forehead that says mercury free zone.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
All right, another story. Senator pushes for GMO labeling in Washington. Now, this is piggybacking. Well, we'll just do this first. Prop 37. What happened a couple of months ago was they voted down GMO labeling in California. It looked like it was going to pass. We don't know if there was voter fraud. I don't know. There probably was. Let's first talk about Prop 37's defeat in, as part of the year in review, and then we'll talk about how there's still hope because the state of Washington is spearheading a new initiative. Let's talk about Prop 37.
Well, by the way, I got to thank you for doing this whole segment because I want to post this too. I was thinking about filming sort of the year in review, and I never got around to it. But here I am. We're getting it done. It's great. Yeah. So Prop 37 had support 2-1 in leading up to the election, but then in the election, the election results said that it failed by 5 million votes. I don't believe that to be the case. I think there was vote counting fraud at work there. And in fact, the reporter who's done the best work on that so far is John Rappaport, you know, nomorefakenews.com. And, you know, he's been a contributor to InfoWars as well as National News. Mm-hmm. John has looked at it in great detail and found that there is a statistical anomaly in the counting that could not be possible, you know, 1,000,000-1 odds against it, that indicate that all of the later votes just suddenly came in against it. And if you look at it geographically, it doesn't make sense either. So I believe there was vote fraud with Prop 37, no question about it, because we know those companies that were opposed to it, Monsanto, DuPont, you know, all the big biotech companies, we know that they played a lot of games before. You know, like suing farmers when their seeds blow into his field and he inadvertently grows corn contaminated with their genetic technology, they sue the farmer.
Wow.
It'd be like, you know, spilling oil in someone's yard and then suing them for stealing your oil. I mean,
it's crazy.
It's insane. But again, it gets back to the psychosis. You know, are the Monsanto operatives, are they insane? Are they suffering from true heavy metals psychosis? Maybe so.
Yeah, I mean, Prop 37 was up by at least 5% come election day, and then it lost. It was pretty shocking.
I don't think the voters voted it down. I think it was fraud.
Well, let's talk. I know a lot of patriots were saying, geez, I'm so disappointed because as California goes, so goes the nation in terms of statewide initiatives. And a lot of people were saying, well, there's nothing else on the horizon. And then we found out that Washington State is going to put together a referendum, or they're working on it, to try to get GMO labeling passed. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I don't actually know much about that because it's still pretty early in the situation. I do know that Washington was going to be, either Washington or Oregon, were going to be the next states to take this up. The question with this is, whatever fraud was carried out in California, can it then be replicated in Washington State? And I believe the answer is potentially yes. I think that this team of fraudsters can, you know, work their fraud anywhere in the country. And what we really need, I believe, is a nationwide, you know, like, for example, if Obama wanted to actually do something good with his power in his last term and invoke executive orders, which I'm completely against because that power obviously shouldn't rest in the executive branch of government. But if he wanted to do something good with an executive order, why wouldn't Obama just issue an executive order to say there is now GMO labeling required nationwide? He could do that. Why wouldn't he just say, you know, small amounts of marijuana are no longer illegal nationwide? Mm-hmm. He could do that. But instead, he uses his executive orders to do things like legalize secret arrests and the torture of American citizens and secret kill lists and assassinations. And that shows his true character.
Yeah, that's why I find it humorous when liberals say, well, Congress is stopping him. Really? Congress stopped him from doing the NDAA? Congress stopped him from throwing people in prison for smoking marijuana? That's all him. He could stop that today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He could stop the mass psychiatric drugging of children. He could even stop the silly gun-free zone signs from being placed on schools and actually put armed guards in the schools, which he should probably even love that because it makes it more of a police state. Mm-hmm. You know, so why aren't they in favor of that? But the truth is, you know, Obama is an evil, wicked person who is also a puppet for the globalists, and he is using his position of power to commit atrocious, really, violations of everything that America stands for, to gut our economy, to destroy our freedoms, to leave Americans misinformed and misguided on every issue that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yep, there you go, Washington. And it turns out it's a bill that's being drafted in Washington.
Good. Well, we will definitely cover that when it becomes an actionable item.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a county that's in Washington that is GMO-free. There's a county in Washington that already requires GMO labeling.
Good.
Now, on to another story. We talked about it earlier in the newscast I did. It's by Aaron Dykes. He wrote an article just a couple days ago. Lapdog FDA approves GM salmon for human consumption. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, this is the Franken salmon that they've developed. It's twice as large as regular salmon. It's genetically modified. And there's always been pressure from these companies, from the biotech industry, to get the FDA to approve it. So the FDA approved that, I believe it was on New Year's Eve, right around that time when no one was really looking. And remember, last year, Obama signed the NDAA on, I mean, Christmas Eve. Did I say New Year's Eve?
You said New Year's Eve.
I'm sorry.
But it's always in the dark. It's always in the dark that these people sign these.
It's always in the dark. But last year, Obama signed on New Year's Eve the NDAA. So this year, the FDA, I think on Christmas Eve, approved GM salmon. Well, okay, but the problem is that just like with GMOs, you have the issue of genetic pollution. What if those genes begin to spread and combine with other varieties of corn and create a crop vulnerability that cannot be anticipated by scientists? You could have a nationwide crop failure leading to mass starvation and the destruction of the greatest asset of modern humankind, which is the seed. Without seeds, we cease to exist. So now with salmon, they're going to breed these salmon in locations where they could escape. And then they could breed with wild salmon, creating a vulnerability in nature that could cause salmon to be wiped out. So this is not just about what you're eating and the poison that's in the corn or, you know, where the GM salmon, how it's grown. It's also a question of the threat to the global ecosystem through genetic pollution, these biotech industries turning food into a weapon on two separate fronts. It's a weapon to poison people. It's also a weapon to destroy the environment, to destroy the seeds that sustain human civilization. That's why GMOs are such a heinous crime against humanity. And if we had any sense at all, we would have, you know, the government should be marching in there and shutting down all the entire biotech industry, literally at gunpoint. That would be an appropriate use of government force. But instead, they're using the guns to force mothers to vaccinate their children, which is highly inappropriate use.
And they're saying that the salmon could become extinct if this continues?
Well, yeah, sure. That's the threat, that you could lose salmon stocks throughout the world. We already have a collapse of fisheries, ocean fisheries around the world. The ocean ecosystem is in a state of collapse right now. We have ocean acidification that is destroying coral. You know, the coral reefs are made out of, well, calcium and other minerals, and they depend on a certain pH level in the ocean water in order to maintain their structure. As the ocean water becomes more acidic, the coral begins to dissolve, and then you begin to lose entire ecosystems. The overfishing is also collapsing large populations of shrimp and, you know, all kinds of edible ocean fish that we harvest and consume. Those populations are collapsing due to overfishing. Mm-hmm. So we are rapidly moving into a time when the human race is going to face mass starvation. It could be a GM corn crop failure. It could be a sudden collapse of ocean populations or the ocean ecosystem. It could be something unforeseen that is unleashed by these mad scientists. But stocking up on food storage is a wise thing, because mass starvation is in our future.
Wow, it's pretty grim. Now for our final story, this is not, you know, drum roll please. This is not the number, this is not the number one story. These are all top stories of the year, but this was my, I don't want to say favorite story, but the story that I remember the most in terms of health. And that's a study, a GMO study that said that rats fed a lifetime of GMO corn grew horrifying tumors. And there's actually images of this, and a 70% of females die early.
Oh, yeah, there they are.
But GMO corn is great, according to the authorities.
Yeah, if you love to grow these amazing tumors, and I believe the research showed that those tumors grow with 300% more frequency in the rats. And by the way, those rats that are being shown to you right now, most of them died prematurely of the cancer tumors.
Wow.
So when we look at cancer rates in the human population today, you have to look at the connection between the consumption of genetically modified corn and the aggressive cancers that we're seeing in the human population. But the system, the racket, is clever in the sense that they know if they can feed you foods that cause cancer, the biotech industry, then the pharmaceutical industry can make money treating the cancer with toxic chemicals that cause more cancer that result in more treatment. So it is a cycle of death and profit. As long as they keep you diseased and misinformed, which is the, you know, the whole point of the mainstream media, they can keep you trapped in a cycle of death that Dr. Gabriel Cousins calls the culture of death. And the culture of death includes things like psychiatric drugs and the school shootings and the massacres that we've seen there, but it begins with food and how the food has become poison. So, you know, we shouldn't be surprised, David, that we live in such bizarre times, because when the food is poison, when the news only broadcasts lies, when logic and reason have been banished from social media like Facebook, you are only going to get insanity. Feinstein, Schumer, Obama, cult leader Obama. These are the signs of our times. Psychosis, delusion, death, and corporate profit.
Yeah, and for those that say, oh, we're just a health extremist, in many European countries, they don't allow GMO, right? They don't allow.
Oh, right. GMOs are banned in many nations around the world, including China, by the way. One of the least free nations in the world, at least, has the sense to not poison its own people. So, you know, but no, you know, these labels, someone says, well, you're an extremist or you're a conspiracy theorist. It's laughable now because the cancers are here. The autism rates have skyrocketed. The death is all around us. People are dying. Everybody knows somebody who's dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. The mass poisoning we are inundated with it. And Feinstein is saying, yeah, we're coming to take your guns. That was called a conspiracy theory just a couple of weeks ago. If you said, oh, they're coming for our guns, you were called a wingnut or a conspiracy theorist. Now it's a fact.
Yeah, and God forbid there's another false flag attack. Then we're really in trouble with terms of the guns. But we don't want to, you know, I don't want to get off course. But
well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I believe that as that Feinstein proposal comes up for a vote in the Senate, they will stage another attack or bombing. In fact, you know, mark me down for this prediction. Today is December 28th, 2012. I'm predicting on the record on InfoWars Nightly News, there will be a staged bombing of a government building or another staged massacre during the debate leading up to the vote on the gun control laws. It'll happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because that they need to do it to pass it.
Yeah, because popularity is kind of, you know, they definitely would need another one to really get that bill passed.
Yep.
And in terms of, is there, you know, that's all for the year in review. Is there any last thing you'd like to say to viewers?
Well, I'd like to say, I think 2013 is going to be the most difficult year we've ever faced, all of us, as human beings. It is a year that all of our freedoms and rights are going to be under intense assault. Not just the Second Amendment, not just the First Amendment, but in the TSA and the Fourth Amendment, and how, you know, the roadside checkpoint searches, them conducting body cavity searches for people pulled over for speeding. we're almost in a state of war, in that the elite-minded, liberal, psychotic control freaks, they literally want to kill everyone who loves liberty. They want to. They want another mass murder. They want an Adolf Hitler type of scenario. They want to fire up the incinerators and stuff all of us into those and turn them up to high. And they might even call it green energy because they can burn humans and they can create excess heat to power their cities, by the way. That's not a joke. There are crematoriums around the world that use the heat of burning, you know, dead people to power, to heat their homes. It's not a joke. But the liberals, I'm sure they would call that green energy. The more libertarians or veterans or individuals, you know, freedom-minded individuals that they can burn in their incinerators, the greener our world becomes. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, the more you're supposed to like it and accept it.
You're supposed to even worship it. You're supposed to bow down before you go to bed at night and pray to the Almighty Obama and pray to the collective. There is no God, they say. There is only Obama. He is our Savior. And anyone who doesn't agree with that is going to be diagnosed with a mental disorder. How's that?
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Some powerful stuff. And we encourage viewers to continue to go on naturalnews.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Good to join you today.
Well, that's all for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday.